Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we're anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Paradox.
And we welcome you to our episode, which is about what today?
Oh, man, we're having a fun little interview with a super cool animator that is super popular on TikTok. And we welcome you to our show. Their name is...
Oh, that's right. My Coyote. Welcome, My Coyote. I should probably... You're just sitting there like... Do I say something?
Where's my line? When's my cue?
It's like,
it's like that one interview with Jennifer Lawrence where she's like, what? What do I do? Guys, what am I supposed to do?
Oh my god.
What? I'm new to this. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so their name is My Coyote. They are, like I said, popular on TikTok, and they also have YouTube. I think you also have a Twitter as well, right?
Yep.
Sweet.
YouTube, and Twitter, Instagram.
Instagram, all the socials.
My Coyote, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are, how long you've been in the fandom, what you do in the fandom. Are you even in the fandom? That's three fandom questions in a row.
Yeah. Hi, my name is My Coyote. I'm a desert coyote. That is my species. I've been mistaken for a fox before. I'm sorry, I'm not a fox. I am a furry animator, and I officially joined the furry fandom at the start of 2022, so last year.
That's what I figured. The reason I said, because I was looking at like all of the different social platforms, and I'm like, they all start with like 2022. Most of them start being posted around December. I've seen a few of them early January, so I'm like, are they new? Maybe they just started posting and they've been here for a while. So that answers one of my questions.
Yeah, I have been watching the furry fandom for a good couple of years at that point. But I always just kind of like, I was just so unsure. I was like, do I pull the trigger? Do I not? Do I try joining it? And in the January last year, I was just kind of at a point in my life where it's like, hey, I got to do something. Might as well just have some fun, goof off, post one video, just see how it does. I doubt it'll go anywhere.
And how'd that go for you?
It didn't go the way I expected. I can say that.
Did you start on YouTube or did you start on TikTok first?
I believe I started on TikTok. It might have been a simultaneous post, but TikTok was the main place that took off first.
Yeah, Paradox is a TikToker.
I try.
Whatever. Your stuff is good.
Thanks. My stuff isn't like as cool as like animations or anything like that. I mostly just, you know, post BS, but you know. So.
Nothing like a good shit post here or there.
Oh, thank you.
I am so sorry. My husband is asking me what size the AC filter is, and I honestly have no clue. I'm going to say 18 by 25 by 1. I don't know. I'm going to have to go look here in a second. I do apologize.
No, you're good.
That's okay. We go on side tangents a lot, so.
Why don't you take over for a second while I go run and take a look?
You guys didn't hear it, but there was a solid 30 seconds of just nothing happening because Space was trying to figure out what size air filter they had.
Oh, that's fine. All right. So we did talk about that you started in the fandom sometime last year. Mm-hmm. Then you just recently pulled the trigger. Why a coyote?
Funny story about that. There wasn't really any reason behind it. I was just trying to think, what's a good like pun I can make for my name? Because my name is Mike. And I was like, what's an animal
pun? Oh, I love it.
Coyote. Mike Coyote. That works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I also, it's the only animal I could really draw were dogs. So.
I love it. Like I said, I was watching some of the videos earlier today, and I love all of the what are they called? The Wile E. Coyote references that you make.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Like the old like Looney Tune days. Like, oh my gosh. They're so funny. I love the anvil one where there's somebody sent you an anvil thing on Twitter and I was like, this is great.
Yeah, that was real. They both happened on the same day. Someone tagged me on a comment on TikTok on a video of an anvil. And on Twitter the same day, just a little later, someone tagged me a post on Twitter.
That's so I was like, fantastic.
Yeah, I got to make an animation on this.
I love it.
I noticed that one of your videos, you basically said, you know, something about like life dropped an anvil on me. Did something personal happen in the middle of 2022?
So that was, let's see, I think that video was posted October. So yeah, I kind of disappeared at the end of August for about a month. I didn't want to say it on social media. It's nothing like, oh, super dramatic or personal.
You don't have to go into it if you don't want to.
No, it's okay. All it was that I got really sick through September. It was really weird. I had really bad throat pain that practically lasted the whole month.
Wow.
Ooh.
It was like I could not swallow without feeling pain, so I just didn't have the motivation to really do much of anything.
That sucks. I get that, though. Did they ever find out like what it was?
Yeah. And I went to the hospital like halfway through September because I was like, this isn't getting any better. It's got to be something. And I was starting to get really worried, but the doctor wasn't really sure what it was. And he just said, it's not strep throat. It's not anything, any of these bad things that I thought it was. So just wait it out and it'll go away. And yeah, it did. I had to wait it out.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder if it was like an allergic reaction.
Yeah.
So that'd be really weird though to go that long with an allergic reaction.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah. I did go on vacation to Vegas the month before, but I don't think it would wait like a half a month to show up. So.
Well, I don't know, because I was going to say, well, I mean, they already ruled out strep throat because strep throat has a weird gestation period because it has a gestation period. I think of anywhere between like a week to like a month. And it's like I said, it's a real weird illness, but they already ruled out that it wasn't strep throat. So that is odd.
Could have been like meningitis in the throat.
Maybe. Yeah.
Something weird. I'm like Googling it right now.
Oh,
symptoms.
No.
Let's go to WebMD. No, just kidding.
No. Oh, you got a slight cough? No. I pronounce you with dead.
Oh.
Doctor's just like, well, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. Keep going about your life. It'll get better, I guess.
Here's an Advil. Good luck. Pretty much.
Here, yeah, have some throat lozenges and, you know, go cry about it.
I did do throat lozenges. And it worked for a little, like it would work for like 10 minutes and then it started losing its effectiveness.
I've noticed more. That.
It was just like,
oh man.
But yeah.
Hopefully, I'm feeling better now though.
Yeah, hopefully this September is a little nicer to me.
I always get sick right around September, November, October, November. And I'm really worried because I'm like, I don't want to get sick. I'm about to go to BLFC in like 2 months. I don't want to catch a cold. But like, right now is the time that I normally do. So I'm like, at least either get it now and get it out of the way or don't come at all. Just don't come knocking at the
start
door.
Start mad pumping like those,
emergencies.
Yes, emergencies. Those yeah. are, what is the other one? It's not emergency. It's
airborne.
Yes, those. They have like 4,000 milligrams of vitamin C.
The vitamin C, I'm like, well, this is just a side tangent here. Vitamin C has not been linked clinically to actually help increase body immunity against colds.
Hmm.
So, but, you know, it's whatever.
Capitalism again.
Did you already ask how long you've been doing art and stuff?
I have not. No. I just asked why a coyote. It was fun.
We'll get back on track here. How long? This is welcome to our world where we just side tangent all the time. It just happens.
It seems to only be with you and like you and me space. Like yeah, for whatever reason with Bean, like you and her are on track. Everybody else are on track. When you get with me and I'm like, I'm ready to cause havoc.
Sparrow and I, we're Bean and Sparrow, one and the same, but Sparrow and I will just have like this list and we follow it to a T and we are just good to go. And then Paradox and I will have notes and we're just like, let's check them out the window and see what happens. That's basically our recording style.
I get the best of both worlds since I'm in every episode. I get episodes that are both on track the entire time and episodes that fall off the track and way off the track sometimes.
It works for us.
It works.
So
adds a little bit more spice to it.
Yeah, a little bit of spice. How long have you been doing art and animations?
I've been doing art and animations for about a decade, actually.
Whoa.
But pretty inconsistently. I started animating around 2010 with like a Flipnote Studio. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, a lot of animators got their start that way. But most of the stuff is just like it was all just for personal, for fun.
So it definitely happened then before the fandom.
Yeah, it definitely happened, though it was very like inconsistent. It was like just a passion sort of, I have a stupid idea, I want to make it. And when I hit adulthood, it was like, oh, I need to get a job. I might as well try to make it something I enjoy doing.
So then I guess this kind of goes into our next question. Are you self-taught or did you go to school for this?
I am self-taught. I did not go to school. I tried going to school, but then I realized that it wasn't really for me and I do not have the money for it. So I just taught myself through online stuff, tutorials. There are a lot of them. Like if there's anything you need to know in a program, chances are there's a tutorial online for it. And also just studying animations that I do like. I would like to like pause them. Like I'll see something interesting that I like about it, like a movement or a technique. And I'll be like, ooh, how can I recreate that? And I'll try to just learn from it, learn from example.
Honestly, that's the best way. I'm going to say right now, because like you said, going to school is so expensive. And honestly, now my wife, she went to school for game design. And honestly, she says that like it was for the majority of the part, a waste of time. Because, you know, like you just said, you can look up almost anything tutorial wise, like on YouTube or somewhere out there on the World Wide Web and find out how to do it yourself. For free and not have to spend, mm-hmm. you know, hundreds of thousands of yeah. dollars in college. So that's unfortunate, like with, it's like fortunate and unfortunate with like college and art degrees and stuff is that like you can just self-teach. It's a little bit, I think maybe a little bit longer that way, like because, you know, there's other distractions and whatnot, but mm-hmm. it's free.
Yeah. And some people do well in a college setting and there are definitely benefits to it. One that I've been told is you make connections at college. You're able mm-hmm. to get out, interact with people, go somewhere, something that being alone in your room doesn't really offer.
Yeah.
But yeah, college, it really depends on what your career is. I was actually told by a professional artist who worked at the school that I was thinking about going to that the animation industry doesn't really hire based on degree. They hire based on skill.
Huh.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. So they all they care about is your portfolio. That's what they're most interested in. Now, that's not saying don't go to college in period. I mean, if you're a doctor, please go to medical school.
Oh, yeah. Please. Yes. so that they can tell you to just take an Advil and hope it gets better.
Someone's got to do it.
Maybe that's what happened with your doctor. They didn't go to college. They were just like, yep, I read WebMD, you know, and that's it.
Well, I mean, they were right. I did just have to wait it out and I went away whatever it was. So
still,
but yeah, college, I'm not necessarily saying don't go to college, but I'm just saying like for people who decide not to, it's not the end of the world. Cause there's definitely mm-hmm. a stigma around college. Like, oh, if you don't go to college, you're a dropout, you're a failure. But no, I mean, that's not the case. That's not how life works.
I didn't go to college.
Yeah,
the funny thing too, like I think Sparrow has gone to college, gotten her degree, and is now in a situation where she doesn't necessarily want to pursue the career that she has ahead of her. So, and I'm finding that a lot. Like I know that Dear Dog has a degree in arts or graphics mm-hmm. design. But I asked her the other day and I'm like, have you thought about like going to companies and becoming a graphic designer? And she basically said, I'd rather throw myself out the window than do that. So like, it's so interesting, like people will get these degrees, but then nothing really comes of it or it's not what they thought. So
it's the same thing with my sister.
It's not for everyone.
Yeah. Unfortunately for animation, I'm very glad I didn't try getting into studios and stuff because that's been a very tough place the last few years for people.
Are you in? Oh, yeah. Do you have a job as an animator?
I do have a.
You don't have to say.
I do freelance work, basically. Okay. I don't have a full job yet, but I'm working towards that.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll get there. You're pretty talented.
Yeah, thank you. I've definitely been making progress, but it's still something that's a little out of reach.
That's okay.
What kind of programs do you use software-wise? Because we have, our listeners, I'm sure we have some animators out there or want to be animators, and I'm sure they're mm-hmm. going to want to know, well, what program should I try using?
Yeah, there are a lot of programs that are out there. There's Flip-A-Clip is a free one, I think. Photoshop, Clip Studio, people use Fire Alpaca, Toon Boom.
I've heard great things about Fire Alpaca.
Yeah, I use Adobe Animate, mainly because while I was trying to figure out programs, I tried with Photoshop. I was like, I do not understand how animation works in this. Adobe Animate had a very beginner-friendly layout. it was very easy for me to understand what I was doing. And it was, I think it was a good starter, but two downsides to Adobe Animate are, one, it's a subscription. So you do have to do monthly subscription. I do the Adobe Creative Cloud package, and it just gives me access to Photoshop and Premiere, which I use for turning the animations into videos.
I love Adobe Creative Cloud. Yeah. It's such a good, I'm not sure if it's a great deal, but it's such a great, like, it has a lot of variety for you to choose from.
Yeah, which I actually, when I got it, I was going through expecting that I was going to be using Photoshop for animation. And when I couldn't figure that out, I was like, okay, I'll try Adobe Animate just because it's there. And thankfully, I was able to. I will say the other thing, though, is you do have to save a lot. Otherwise, because it likes to crash randomly.
Oh, let me tell you. I have, let's see, which one is it? PSC. So I have Photoshop Elements. Mm-hmm. That thing crashes so much. And so I'm always like, control save when I'm doing stuff. I haven't really used it though. I've been using an online program called Canva instead, which has been helping a lot with like our thumbnails and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of just like step aside Adobe. Let me try something different.
Adobe's a bit of a mixed bag.
And it's kind of different too. Like if you use Photoshop, like Adobe Photoshop, and then you try to go to another program that's similar to it or has like the same skeletal structure, but it's a different brand, it's way different. I can't remember what it was. There's one specific program that is almost exactly identical to Photoshop, but it's got a lot more freedom to it. The problem is if you've learned Photoshop first, then this program is ruined for you because you have to like relearn everything all over again.
Yeah, and I did learn Photoshop first through my, I did a class one time. I thought it was going to be art class. It ended up just being a Photoshop editing class.
Yeah.
But it did teach me a lot about Photoshop.
Paradox.
Would you like me to add, I was just going to say, would you like me to ask the next one?
Yeah, because you're the one that came up with this idea and I've never heard, I don't know what the techniques are. You're the one that kind of listed them.
Oh, okay. Well, myself and then my wife did because, like I said, they know. So what types of animation techniques? Because we did talk about the apps and software that you will use. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the techniques that you use? And if you could explain like what they mean, do you use like onion skinning or tweening, hand-drawn, etc.?
I've never heard of any of that before. I have no idea what that means.
So yes, onion skinning is when you... Like, let's say you're on a frame, it'll like make a shadow of the previous and or next frames, and it allows you to sort of work the movements and figure out
what's
a lot of tweens. How neat.
Motion tweening, you get an object and you can, rather than like drawing it, moving to a place, you can just have it slide around and the program will just move it. You do have to be smart with motion tweening though, because you can tell when someone uses motion tweening, but there are ways that you can use it where it does look good. But that's another thing. Symbols help. Those are a good thing. Adobe Animate has a camera. You can move the viewing area.
Oh, that's
zoom
cool.
In, zoom out.
That is cool.
A lot. I think there's some programs get even more crazy. I think some have like 3D spaces you can draw in. I am very much learning still about a lot of this stuff. So I still use pretty basic techniques.
There's nothing wrong with that though. I've heard a couple of photographers in the fandom who have like really high tech equipment, but I've talked to them about the software that they use and some of them still use the most basic software out there. And they say it's not what you use, it's how you use it, which is really interesting because it's true.
Yeah. And going back to the animation thing, like I've seen some amazing animations and then they're like, oh yeah, I animated this with my finger on FlipLaClip. And it's like, what? You animated with your finger? Yeah, on my phone. And it's like, don't feel bad if you can't like afford any of the big, or like any of the famous softwares, like find something that works for you and you can learn that and you can get really good. Like it doesn't matter what you're using. Like just start with something you can use.
Nice. I love it.
Where do you get the inspiration to create your fun little video animations? Do you have any like animators that inspire you? Are you going based off of current memes and trends that are already out there? You're kind of like doing what everyone else does.
Yeah, I'm a very scatterbrained person. So I just kind of go with I guess I just kind of go with the flow. I sometimes I'll see like a TikTok and see an audio that really makes me laugh or a video, and I'm like, oh, I want to use that for something. Or I'll just be thinking, or I'll be playing a video game, relaxing, and oh, there's an idea. I don't really have an explanation, like a very good strategy. And even that can be hard sometimes when I'm having art block and it's like, okay, how do I come up with an idea? And it just doesn't work. But sometimes just not trying is a good way to do it. Just relaxing, taking time for yourself, playing a video game, or just doodling and letting your mind wander. Sometimes if you do that, it'll give you an idea for something you didn't even think of. Like you'll be thinking, ooh, all right, I want to make a, sorry if I told you I'm very scatterbrained. I'm sorry if my thoughts are all over the place.
No, you're okay. Totally fine. You're 100% fine.
Yeah. For an example, for the loaf video where I first drew loaf,
Is that the Newt one?
No.
No, that's the little creature.
The one where Michael was sunbathing.
Oh, yeah.
That idea started as like, okay, so he lives in the desert. What kind of idea can I make out of the desert? What are things in the desert? I started thinking the sun is hot in the desert. What if he was laying down like tanning because the sun is hot? What if he was just loafing around? Loafing. I could turn him into a loaf of bread and have him bake in the sun.
Love it.
Yeah. Oh, so it's a lot of ideas start out really small. I've definitely had trouble in the past where it's like, okay, I got to figure out an idea and I try to think it. Sometimes you can, sometimes it doesn't work, but trying to think the whole thing through from the start. And sometimes it just kind of comes out of just random thoughts.
I definitely resonate with that because I think you and I have a very similar mindset. I don't know if you have ADHD or not, but like, that's just like, I definitely have it.
I'm seriously wondering if I do.
Okay. I was just going to say that because a lot of times, like with a lot of like people who have ADHD, they have like that similar, similar thought process where like you could just be doing whatever. And then maybe you see something or hear something or maybe even like smell something. And you're like, oh, and your brain just kind of pops in a little thought and then it clicks. Yeah. It just clicks in different aspects of whatever you're thinking of. And then either a story comes into play or like, you know, like you said, like an animation comes into play. So for example, the other day I came up with a twist on like an Alice in Wonderland story. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, I could write this for like National Writing Month in November. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So like a whole story came into play. And I'm like, this is actually like really good. But it all came from me like just doodling at work. Like that was it. So
oh, I love that.
similar that process. So awesome. Yeah.
I love, I'm scrolling through up and down all the different shorts and there's a couple that I really like, but there's one that's like the Badonkers one. I have to know, where did that come from? Badonkers.
So I found the audio for that one day and I was like, wow, this is such a funny audio. And let's see, I'm trying to remember my headspace around the time. I think I was kind of like, I was having a bit of art block at the time and I was just kind of toying with the thought like, would this be, because like, I just, it's a little on the more, I don't know the word, horny side.
Right. No. Totally is. But it's funny.
Okay.
I just kind of reached my breaking point that day. I was like, I don't care. I'm just going to do it and see what happens.
I love it.
People liked it. It was good.
Yeah. I like the videos where, and it's, I think I've seen at least two of them, but like the word daddy is mentioned and then you just become super daddy. Ripped for like 3 seconds and then it's like, I love it.
Yeah, I do have some more ideas for that. And so
I can't wait.
Work on those, but I've tried spacing them out a little bit because I think it's funnier when you're not expecting it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, for sure.
Like the fursona raffle, I'm like, where are your clothes at?
Yeah, I love that one.
I love that clip just in general and what people do with it.
Yeah.
I love Pain Coyote. It's a good one. I have a question. Do you actually voice all of your own animations too?
I do voice my animations, except for, I mean, there are times where they're just random audio, but yeah. And the ones where Like, it's not an audio. It is. I'm the only person who has voice, you know?
Nice.
That's cool.
I like it.
That's super cool. Is this something that you do full time?
Yeah, I think we touched on this a little bit, but I was just gonna say that.
I just spaced.
I'm working on it. No, you're good. Yeah, I'm hoping to get to that point. It is full. Like, I work full time, but it's not a full time job.
Right.
In terms of actually getting paid for it, but it's a process. Hoping to reach YouTube monetization soon.
I'm sure you'll get there. I mean, can you get monetized on TikTok? Is that a thing?
You can get monetized on TikTok, but from what I've seen, it pays very poorly.
Mm.
I mean, unless you're like an NPC, then.
Yeah, maybe.
Just do like an animation version, or just make a real long one of him just doing all of these different NPC reactions.
Yeah. Though TikTok has introduced the beta creator program, which I have heard is actually like it's getting good payment. Like, it's actually way better than what TikTok had before, though that's not saying much. But I think you have to post like minute long videos for that. And as an animator, that's a little difficult to do.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be painstakingly long.
I was listening to the Borzoi Yodi clip, and I didn't pay attention until I noticed that there was actually something going on in the background besides the animation itself. Let me see if I can pinpoint it, figure this one out. It's, yeah, okay. So where it's like, let me do it for you. I don't know if you know this, but there's actual audio behind that too.
Yeah, I actually looked it up one time. I was like, where is this? Like, I saw TikTok one time and I was like, hey, do you know where this audio comes from? And it's such a weird story. It's like a cover of a song, but someone was doing a Miss Piggy impersonation.
Yeah.
Yep. And then somehow someone used that audio with a video of a Borzoi, and then it just became the Borzoi song.
But like, the funny thing about this one, and I'm wondering if it's like, I'm going to have to go and look out of the clips too. It's not just the sound. There's an actual conversation happening behind that, let me do it for you. It's super, super faint. And I was just like sitting there listening. I'm like, I'm sorry, what did they just say?
I didn't actually think of that.
It's funnier when you like hone in on, you're just like, what?
it's the voices in his head.
Oh my God. Possible, I love it.
Yeah. I'm not going to say what it is. I just want to see if you guys can figure it out at one point, because that's so interesting. But I'm just like, what?
Oh my gosh. That's funny. I was going to say, we did touch on the relationship between Coyote and then Loaf a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is Loaf just a smaller version of you?
That was the way it started in that video. But then a lot of people liked it. And so I said, okay, I'll just do another one. And people really were getting attached to the character. So Loaf then became their own character.
Loaf is like one of my favorite characters.
Because at first, if you look at the first shorts, I think it takes a while for Loaf and Miko to be seen together.
Yeah.
So I was kind of debating back and forth whether or not it was him or it was like a pet or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the My Coyote lore is forming. We're on the process.
I love it. Well, if it ever becomes anything, if you ever decide to make like a Loaf like enamel pin, I will totally buy it.
Oh, hell yeah.
10 out of 10.
I will gladly buy that.
Merch in general, if you ever decide to like load out some merch, like I will buy it. I will wear it proudly. I'll wear it to work.
Yeah, please.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's definitely something that's crossed my mind, but I've always just been there like, would anyone really want to buy it though?
Yes.
I'll be your biggest fans.
People will actually want to buy it. You'd be surprised.
I often underestimate people's generosity. It's a bit of imposter syndrome, I guess.
You did introduce another Loaf, though, about 6 months ago. You had two Loafs engaging in a conversation. Hello?
Sorry, I blamed. Which one is that?
I'm so sorry. I'm like, oh my God, did the feet cut?
No, you're good. Sorry. No, my brain cut. That's
No, you're fine. There's one called Two Loafs Having or have an engaging conversation.
Oh right. That was a gift for Whiskey Dingo.
Oh.
Boob is a little loaf.
That's so cute. It's such a cute little...
I love Goob, even if Goob is like the most cursed things.
I love it. Oh my gosh.
So cute.
Out of all of the animations that you have done, which is like, I can't talk, God, which one is your most favorite?
That's a toughie.
We'll let you choose your top five if you want to.
Ooh, that makes it even harder.
Oh,
oh no.
If I had to pick the one, if I had to go based on how fun they were to make, I think it would be the Daddy Yodi animations. Yes. It's just so fun to draw.
Yes. I love it.
The Daddy Yodi is so good.
That works.
I love the Grill Me a Cheese one. That one's so cute.
Yes, I saw that one.
Love that one.
Grill Me a Cheese.
I'm glad people like that.
Yeah. Do you have any other projects that you do besides furry ones?
To be honest, I don't have a lot of projects going on right now because I've mostly been focusing on paying rent, doing like freelance and part-time work. But I do hope to get more projects going, furry and non-furry, and just kind of expand my horizons a bit, do more cool stuff.
Do you take commission at all?
Not officially, though. Often get people just DMing me, asking me, hey, do you do commissions? It's like, yeah, okay, I can do it this time. I have to figure out an official rep sheet because that's why that's why I haven't done commissions. I just haven't got around to making a price sheet.
That's okay. Yeah. Honestly, commissions are kind of stressful too, so I totally understand that.
It really depends. Like sometimes it's fine, sometimes it's like I want to be doing my own thing.
Yeah,
but then you have to make money. So
yeah.
Well, we don't want you to be all stressed out. That's no fun.
Yeah, I try to keep it a balance.
What advice would you give someone who wants to get into animation and art?
If I were to give a piece of advice to someone trying to get animation, art, or any sort of creative thing, I would probably say don't be afraid to be yourself. Make the content that you find funny, that you want to see, because that's what's going to ultimately make you happy. You don't want to be making something that's like, it kind of just what we talk about. You don't want to be doing stuff. Okay, obviously it's different with work because you have to make money, but in terms of passion, you want to be making stuff that you actually enjoy. Otherwise, you're just going to get burnt out way quicker. And I mean, that's how My Coyote started, actually. It was just me just doing something for goofy fun, just trying to have fun with stuff. And people really resonate. Like, people can tell when you're passionate and having fun with something.
And it just goes to show that, honestly, we should all be doing something that we love and not necessarily, you know, just for corporate office. So
yeah, a lot of times when you try to go corporate, you can tend to lose your own voice a little bit. Mm-hmm. You start trying to figure out what is like the most efficient thing to do, what is the best thing to do in order for like monetization or getting clicks or getting views. But I mean, I think the best thing to do ultimately is just your own voice, because there's a bunch of Mr. Beast clones out there, or NPC accounts, but there's only one you, and I think the world deserves to see you. No, I mean, you deserve to put yourself, you know what I mean?
No, yeah. I totally get it. That's why, like, the thought has been on my mind, and I've just kind of backburnered it, but I thought, like, we could probably make some sort of profit off of the podcast that we do. But then on the other hand, it's like, but then it becomes a chore, and, you know, we'd have to get into, like, accounting things, and I'm not really strong in that particular area, and I also don't want the creativity to be like forced in a way. And so I'd rather, you know, produce good content on a easy to go basis. You know, I think we do every 2 weeks right now. We were doing like every week, and I'm like, it's too much. I can't do every week. This is killing like my spirit.
Yeah, and if you had money to earn from it, it'd be a lot harder to take that break, because then you'd have the pressure on it to keep earning.
Yeah. And I don't think it's something I want to do. I know that other podcasts, like other furry podcasts, do it, but it's not something, like you said, I want to have my own voice. I want to have my host have their own voice. I want to be able to talk about whatever we want to and not be restricted by something that dictates how we should move and record and have guests and what we can say and what we can't say. I think that kind of what makes us like, I guess, specials. Like, we kind of say what we want to say. We view the fandom the way that we choose to view it. We don't really care what others think of us. And I think that's something that resonates with people a little bit. So
yeah. And yeah. There's nothing wrong with making money stuff, but you have to be careful that it's like, it doesn't become the purpose. It doesn't become the sole goal, because then you kind of lose your soul a little bit.
Exactly. One question I have never really asked anyone before. You're the first person to get this test question. Okay. All right. What's something about you that most people familiar with your work wouldn't know?
Probably I'm definitely a bit of a nerd. I like a lot of like nerdy, I guess traditionally nerdy things, video games, Star Wars, computers, and all that stuff. And I guess that doesn't really show through my animations, but I would like to find a way to kind of let that in a little bit.
Do you watch Game Grumps?
No,
that's okay. I don't really watch them as much either. My husband mostly watches them, but they have this one series of this guy. His name is Space Bear, but it's S Base, so S-B-A-S-S Bear. And he takes all of their like little quips and like songs that they create and during their nerdy gaming whatever, and turns them into like something else, and it's so freaking funny. So I was just thinking, like, oh, of nerdy things, this would probably be a super nerdy thing.
Oh, that is cool.
Almost, but not as cool as, let me tell you, something I can nerd out for. Have you ever heard of I'm trying to think what it's called, the Winter Garden Machine?
The what?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it's this guy, I think he's Norwegian. He builds this machine that's like marbles, and he builds it in such a way that the marbles make different noises, play different tones. And he creates this beautiful like orchestra of sounds and music, all based off of like a hand crank. Let me see if I can find something here, because I have to show you. Oh, it's so great. Winter Garden. So it's this guy. I'm going to post this in the chat right there. You should be able to see it.
Okay. Wow, I didn't know you could do that.
What?
I didn't realize what that was over there.
Find I want to put something. Machine one.
Shits and giggles. It was like my second swear for today.
So this is the original video. And it's all built out of like wood. But he cranks it up. And then he's got like what looks like, you can kind of see it when they change the camera angle. But he's got like this guitar bass type thing built into it. And so as he's cranking and doing stuff, he also plays the bass on this. The guy's a freaking like engineer musical genius. I don't know how he did this. I don't know how he thought to even build something like this, but it is so mind captivating to watch. And so I nerd out and geek out for stuff like this.
That is insane to look at. I could not even fathom. My brain is breaking just looking at it, let alone figuring out how to build something like that.
And he does these like, he'll do like little video updates like, okay, you know, so many marbles failed. Let's try to figure out which marbles failed, why they failed, how can we, you know, fix it. And so he kept trying to like fix it. And eventually he kind of got burned out and he just stopped doing it. And then he started up another one called the Machine X, which he built, which is much cooler looking, but then he got burnt out on that one too. Well, what's cool about that is that he gained a following, a cult following, to a point where this community, he I guess donated both of his machines to a museum, and people from the community actually come in and help fix and put together and try to figure out how to make the machine better. So they're essentially like taking his vision upon themselves to fix and make it better, which is really cool.
That is so cool. It's become a whole community thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just something super geeky I like.
Yeah, that is really cool. And thank you for sharing that.
Oh yeah. That is not the question. How can our listeners connect with you online?
Nope, I don't think I will. Space doesn't even have final say on what I do and don't cut.
Yes. So I have a YouTube channel, Mike Coyote, MikeOyote. I have a TikTok, Mike Coyote TikTok, because someone had the freaking tag Mike Coyote. I made a whole short about that.
I saw that earlier.
I love it.
I was just about to ask that.
Yeah. Same thing with Instagram. Someone took that too. So I have like a link tree in my bio so people can, if you're ever unsure of where I am, that has all the places I'm listed. We got Reddit, Tumblr, Blue Sky, just about anywhere, to be honest.
Right on.
Awesome.
And if you guys didn't catch that, don't worry. We'll have all the information like we always do down below. So all you have to do is just click on the links and it'll take you straight where you need to go. Mm-hmm. Do you have any last wishes before we go? Any last things?
I have a question for you guys.
No.
What is
how that works? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No.
Wow.
What is your favorite type of bread?
Ooh.
Oh. You know, I like a good sourdough. However, I do like a good baguette.
Ooh, yes. Good old French bread.
Especially when it's a little bit. So it's not when it's fresh baked. I like to wait a day. So it's a little bit more harder on the outside, but a little bit more firm on the inside. Oh, so good.
That good old aged bread.
My favorite bread has to be banana nut bread with just a little bit of cinnamon in it.
I feel like I don't know enough breads.
Grandma's sycamores. I mean, just names them like, what is it? What's the white bread? The what is it called? Wonder Bread.
Wonder Bread?
Not Wonder Bread.
I mean, I like
a roll.
Rolls are good, but I think maybe like the brioche bread that like they use for like burgers and stuff. That's really good, especially like when it's toasted like with butter and whatnot. Oh, it's so good.
Have you had challah bread?
No, I have not had challah bread.
It's so good. It's kind of like a sweeter bread. And then they put like little sugar crystals on top.
Ooh.
It's so amazing. I believe it's, I just want to make sure that I've got this right. So it sounds like it's challah, but it's actually C-H-A-L-L-A-H, I believe. Challah bread. You can call it challah bread if you want.
Ain't no challah bread, girl.
It is. So it's Jewish by origin. But what's really cool about challah bread is that it's kind of like an eggy, almost like a sweeter type bread, but the way that they knot it together. So it's kind of like, I guess you could say braided and then knot it together.
Like a braid.
So cool.
Naughty bread.
I didn't want to eat it. I just want to look at it.
It's so soft by the touch too. It's so light. It's kind of like the heftiness of a challah bread is like that of angel food cake. It's very light, but it has great flavor. Oh, you have that. You're going to be like, oh, shit. It's good stuff.
All right. Well, that was a trick question. The correct answer was loaf. Loaf is the best bread.
So, oh, man, that's cute. No.
Bummer, we got it wrong.
Dang it.
Well, I don't want to eat loaf. If you eat loaf, then there's no loaf.
You got me too. And I'm not even doing this real time.
Wait, you guys are eating bread? I didn't say anything about eating bread. What kind of podcast is this?
Oh my God, you should make him, you could draw him like wearing loafers.
Oh my gosh, loafers.
Loaf-wearing loafers.
Loafers. Loafering loafers. That would be great. No, I just thought of that.
Now, what
I'm
if
sure
the
you're like, oh, another suggestion. No, I'm just kidding.
What if the loafers look like him? So they're loafers.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Wearing loafers.
Yes. If we ever see that come out, I'm going to be like, yep, that was our idea. That was us. Well, we thank everyone for listening in as per usual. If you guys have questions, you can always email us at talktothemuzzle@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, which is just From the Muzzle. And then we have a TikTok. We're just not using it yet. More to come on that.
To come soon.
Yeah, come soon, I suppose. I'm not sure what we'll do with that, but I'm sure we'll do something. And then we also have a Telegram too. If you want to join our group, we have 145 members. It's growing almost on the weekly basis. And I kid you not, the conversations go 24/7. Sometimes I'll go to bed, it'll be zero, and I wake up and there's like 100 and something conversations. I'm like, do you people not sleep? So, you know, it's a great place to be. It's a great place to make friends. Everyone loves each other, so it's really nice. Anything from you, Paradox?
I don't. Other than thank you so much for hopping on with us on the show. You've been wonderful.
Yes, thank you.
Please keep doing what you're doing. You are incredibly talented, and you seem like a super nice person. You have such a bright future. Again, just thank you. Thank you so much for coming on today.
We can't wait to see what you have to do next. It'll be exciting.
The Adventures of Mike Coyote and Loaf.
And I totally lost my train of thought.
Did you?
Bye, everyone. Space has lost its thought. Goodbye.
Bye.